Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we have the continued battle, oftentimes between God and Christ and his disciples against the scribes and the Pharisees. And it's just an overarching, it's not the particular point that I want to make today, but just to say how easy it is in our human condition when we're called on to something deeper, we're called on higher, we're called to renounce the patterns of the ways in which we've thought in the past and to take on more clearly and more deeply the mind of Christ. We resist that. I'm okay the way I am. I've heard lots of people say that. I'm okay the way I am. But what God is doing is asking us to change and to grow in order that we might be closer to him. And you and I were created for union with God. That's what we're created for. And nothing, no matter how much we think this or that is going to satisfy us, nothing will satisfy our hunger and thirst ultimately except union with God, because we were made for union with God. So let's take a look at these readings, keeping all of that in mind. The first reading is taken from the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 30, verses 1 to 2, 12 to 15, and 18 to 22. Sorry, it's a little choppy there. The following message came to Jeremiah the prophet, from the Lord. For thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, write all the words I have spoken to you in a book. That's why we have the Bible. Write all the words I have spoken to you in a book. For thus says the Lord, incurable is your wound, grievous your bruise. There is none to plead your cause, no remedy for your running sore, no healing for you. All your lovers have forgotten you, they do not seek you. I strike you as an enemy would strike, punished you cruelly. Why cry out over your wound? Your pain is without relief. Because of your great guilt, your numerous sins, I have done this to you. And then we hear this. Thus says the Lord, see, I will restore the tents of Jacob. His dwellings I will pity. City shall be rebuilt upon hill and palace restored as it was. From them will resound songs of praise, the laughter of happy men. I will make them not few, but many. They will not be tiny, for I will glorify them. His sons shall be as of old, his assembly before me shall stand firm. I will punish all his oppressors. His leader shall be one of his own, and his ruler shall come from his kin. When I summon him, he shall approach me. How else should one take the deadly risk of approaching me, says the Lord? You shall be my people, and I will be your God. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. You see, here in the Old Testament, through the prophets, we're seeing how even there, God is longing to draw us to himself. He's longing to restore us. Because many of us have found that our priorities and our choices in life did not lead to the kind of peace and happiness that was promised. We were duped. We were duped. Satan's very good at that. He does it through human beings most of the time. But we're very easily duped. We see the glitz and the glitter, so to speak, and we're so attracted to it that it's like it numbs every one of our senses to listening to the truth. And we can say, oh, well, God, what I did was too bad, too much, too long. God would never forgive me. But that's not true. That's an absolute falsehood. The only thing you need to do is honestly repent. I did it. I'm guilty. I'm responsible for whatever your part is in it. Just be open. Be honest. Does it embarrass? Yes. Of course it does. But the freedom that you experience when you let go of those past sins And you can have, in a certain sense, a clean slate all over again. That's what God has for you. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. I want to be your God. I want to be your Father. And He is. But if that is going to bear fruit, it requires of us a choice, a decision to accept Him as my God and my Father. It's real. It's not something made up thousands of years ago, as I often hear. It's not that. It's real. This honestly happened. It is real. And God calls each of us, those of you listening to the program, God calls you to draw near to Him so that He can forgive you, so that He can bless you, so that He can heal your wounds and restore you. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. The heavily burdened often refers to the sin that we carry, the burden of past sin and guilt and fear or anger. Open your heart. Because you understand, God knows right where you are at this moment. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what He longs to hear from you. Will you come to Him? Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. We can be heavily burdened by our sin, by our hopelessness, even by despair. Come to me, all you who labor, and I will give you rest. Learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart. Learn from me. Meekness is strength under control. Humble, God is willing to accept the God, the King of the earth, the Creator of all life, is willing to accept your sorrow, your regret over your sin, and to wipe it away. He would have, given who He is, He would have the right to demolish you, to destroy you, and He has no desire to do that. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened. We're all heavily burdened with sin. Come to me. Please pay attention. The responsorial psalm says this: the Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all His glory. People of Israel went through all kinds of difficulty, and then God would raise them up and restore them. And then after a while, they'd forget that, and they'd go back to their old ways. And when they cried out for mercy, God would have mercy on them and heal them again. The Lord will build up Zion again and appear in all His glory, and He will do it for you as well. The gospel for today is Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 to 36. Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede Him to the other side of the sea while He dismissed the crowds. Why did He do that? He made the disciples get into a boat. He wanted to spend some time with them. He wanted to talk to them. They had been with the crowds, and the crowds keep following Him. And so Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and precede Him to the other side of the sea while He dismissed the crowds. After doing so, He went up on the mountain by Himself to pray. Always prayed to His Father. And when it was evening, He was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. That's the boat that has all His disciples in it right now. And during the fourth watch of the night, He came toward them. He came toward them walking on the sea. Fourth watch of the night, darkest part of the night. And suddenly they see Him walking on the sea. But for a moment, they're so terrified, they don't even at first recognize Him. It says, when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. I mean, they've just been with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They've just been taught by Him, shaped by Him, formed by Him. And all of a sudden, it's a ghost. It must be a ghost. And I understand that. Any of us would. We understand that, but it just shows how weak our faith can be, how shallow our faith can be. Keep asking God, put the roots down deeper. The roots of my life, put them down deeper in you so that I will trust you more than I trust anybody else. I will trust you. Give me the grace to put all my trust in you. At once, Jesus spoke to them. Take courage. Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. And Peter said to him in reply, Lord, if it is you, they're still terrified, understandably. Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. If this is real, then call me to do what you're doing. And Jesus said, come. It's a challenge, a bit of a challenge there. And so Peter got out of the boat, and he began to walk on the water toward Jesus. But when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Now, look for a moment at what happened here. Peter got out of the boat. He did it. He had his eyes on Jesus. And because he had his eyes on Jesus, he was able to walk on the water toward Jesus. But then he became conscious of how strong the wind was, and he was frightened, he was terrified, and he cried out, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I think I might have been part of that. I think I might have been a bit like Peter. As long as I kept my eyes on Jesus, I was fine. But what happened was the strong winds, and they're frightening, and you're out there on the water, I'd be afraid too. And Peter gave in to that fear. And what does Jesus do? Reprimand him? He does. He says, oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt? And after they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. You can imagine Peter lying there kind of panting and still shaking, soaking wet. But he had some courage. There was some faith in him that he made the attempt. But he couldn't sustain it. The winds became too strong. And sometimes we commend ourselves to the Lord and we say, Lord, we're going to follow you all the days of our lives. And then storms come up and they throw us off course. And we're like Peter. We think that God has rejected us or that God is not with us or that God cannot conquer the storm. He can. Put your faith in him. Put your trust in him. After making the crossing, they came to the land of Gennesareth, and when the men of that place recognized him, they sent word to all the surrounding country, and people brought to him all those who were sick and begged him that they might touch only the tassel on his cloak, and as many as touched it were healed. Draw near to him, brothers and sisters. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I want to offer you a new free booklet entitled Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. That booklet is available to you simply by calling our 800 number, 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to our website, renewalministries.net.